Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Rick Tyler.
I'm Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're really glad you're with us this evening. It's a holiday weekend. It's July the 5th, 2020. It seems like in America, things are starting to get back to normal, but some states still have a little bit of a restriction. So hopefully we have a few listeners this evening. And you can join us here every Sunday evening on New Visions Radio at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And what else do we do during the week? Rick, what do we do?
Well, on Wednesday evening here in Stanton, Virginia, we have a Bible study. We don't stream that online or anything, but it's just a local Bible study. It's like a small group. And it really has some tremendous dynamics. We talk about almost anything under the sun.
And it's always straight from the Bible, isn't it?
It is.
And that's at 7 o'clock every Wednesday night if you're ever in Stanton at 1743 West Beverly Street. And then later in the week, what do we have, Ed?
Well, on Sabbath or Saturday, we have our church service. We have a what we call Sabbath school, which is a Bible study portion of our church service.
Right.
It starts at 9:30, and then at 11 o'clock, we have the worship service.
Yeah, so you can find us there online on prophecyhope.com, and you can watch us stream every Sabbath morning at beginning at 9:30. And also, if you happen to miss something, we don't record the Sabbath schools, but we do record the worship service. So if you happen to hear of a sermon or you hear of a topic that maybe we've talked about or we've referenced the website, they're all archived there on the website. And if somebody wants to contact us, how do they get in touch with you, Rick?
They can email me at rick@prophecyhope.com.
And Ed?
And Ed@prophecyhope.com.
All right. You can reach me at mark@prophecyhope.com. One thing that I like to do every week is just thank Ray Powers right here on the air because he does so much for us and New Visions Radio, and he keeps us going each week, each and every week. And if there's ever a week where we can't be here, he finds an older program and he puts it on the air for us so that we're always here. And we're ever grateful to him for giving us a spot here on New Visions Radio amongst all these other broadcasters. Also, we have a series coming up this fall, which is just around the corner, which is going to be September the 28th through October the 3rd. And what are we going to do during that series?
It's going to be a lecture series. And Mark, you've got most of those prepared, right?
They're prepared pretty much. I mean, I adjust them here and there, and I still go over them. And
it's going to focus on Bible prophecy,
yes,
isn't it?
And it is.
The point of Bible prophecy is to see where we are in the stream of time according to what God has laid out in the Scripture.
That's right.
And you're going to be looking in the Bible at the books of Daniel and Revelation.
Yeah, we're going to see how those books actually line up together and how they fit hand in glove. And there's some really interesting topics, things that a lot of people really wonder about, especially now. You know, a lot of people are aware, in fact, doing this study that we're going to finish hopefully this evening. If not, we'll do it next week. But we've been studying 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John for weeks now. And in these, in the book of 1st John, it talks about this power called the
Antichrist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's going to be explained in this series. What or who or how does this affect us? It says in the Bible there are many Antichrists. What does that mean? So a lot of these topics are going to be covered during that series. And that will stream every night. It'll be a Monday through Saturday night at 7 p.m. Right there at prophecyhope.com. So are there any other announcements, you guys?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
And I will tell you that if you go to the website, and probably within the next 2 or 3 weeks from now, which this is July the 5th, you will see a handbill there which will give you the topics and the times they start, and that'll be posted on the website. So, you know, before we open God's Word, we always have to have His blessing upon reading and studying. So, Ed, would you be willing to open with prayer for us?
Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father in heaven, we're grateful for this blessing that you've given us of your word. Father, as we study your word today, I just ask that you send us the Spirit of truth to guide us, that you give us the wisdom needed to not only understand what we're studying, but be able to apply these things to our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
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 So, guys, I think we are in the the epistle, the third epistle of John is what it's called in my Bible. And it took us 9 weeks, 9 hours to do the first. And then the second one we did in two programs. And we'll see if we can get through this one in one program. If not, that's all right. Mm-hmm. You know, there's never a hurry. That's what's nice about this. We're not on a time schedule, except we have to be done within an hour. So as far as our time limits here on the air. So who wants to begin? Is there any thoughts before we begin this particular book? Anything maybe you'd like to share, or just jump right in?
No, I think we should just go for
it. Just dive in. Okay, Ed, do you have, what translation are you using?
I have the Modern King James Version.
Okay, so why don't we read, and we can stop anywhere along the way, but 1-4, does that sound good?
Yeah, that looks good.
3 John.
All right, I may need some help with a name here.
Oh, no,
all right,
let's
here
see.
We go. John, 3 John, chapter 1, verse 1. Mm-hmm. The elder to Gaius, the beloved, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, in regard to all things, I pray that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when the brothers came and testified of the truth that is in you, even as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than these things, to hear that my children walk in the truth.
All right. There was a couple of things to me that stood out. Did you catch something there, Ed, that maybe got your attention?
Yeah, I think, you know, we have a ministry called Prophecy of Hopes. Mm-hmm. And it's exciting when you talk to someone that you have had an influence over.
Yes, it is.
I think that's what John is saying. It's so good to hear you walking in the truth, right, that you're doing the things I taught you.
Yeah, what does that mean, walking in the truth? You know, let me just say it this way. Before you answer that question, I grew up in a church that, and it was a different church than you guys grew up in. The people in my church called it the truth. I don't know if you can hear that. There's a fire engine
yeah,
going past us here in the Prophecies of Hope Church. I don't know if that came through the mic or not. But the we called, you know, they would say, well, how did you come to know the truth? And they equated that with the church that I grew up in.
Yeah.
Was it the same in the denomination you grew up in? Did they kind of call it the truth?
I don't know if it referred just to the church, but to the message,
the message
that this,
yeah,
particular church thought they were called to do.
Okay. So when this says here, do either of you have a thought on when it talks about being in the truth or walking in the truth? What comes to your mind?
Well, I think we've talked a lot about how Christ can be with us and be in us all the time. It can influence us in tremendously positive ways, and the power of God comes through Jesus Christ to help us overcome really the sins that we have in our lives, and really to overcome the world. So that's what comes to my mind.
Can I give you an example?
Yes, please do.
I work as a physical therapist,
mm-hmm,
and most of the time, the people that I see, as I'm working with them, I give them some things to do at home, some homework.
Right.
We call it a home exercise program.
Okay.
And I explain to them what I want them to do and why they should do it and the benefits of doing that. So they have an understanding. They know what the exercises are. We go over them. They actually do them during this PT session. But if they go home and don't do them, then it's of no benefit.
Right.
So if you read the Bible and you understand what it's asking us to do, and you go and do those things, that means walking in the truth.
You put it into practice.
If you don't do those things, then you're not walking in the truth.
Yeah. So, but from a practical sense, we could say it's kind of like a relationship.
Yeah.
Right? If I only spent one day a week with my wife, what kind of a relationship will we have? It wouldn't be a good one. Well, you know, she might be happier. I don't know. But, you know, the other thing that comes to my mind, you know, is he's talking about walking in the truth. And when I think of that, I think of John 14:6, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he says, no one comes to the Father except through me. So if I'm walking in Christ Jesus, if I'm walking in the truth, then that means that I'm going to be doing the things that please our Heavenly Father.
You know what all else the Bible says in terms about truth?
What's that?
In Psalms it says, thy law is truth.
Oh, that's right.
Walking in the truth.
Yeah, can you find that text real quick, Ed, since you, or maybe Rick can. You guys have your computers there. You guys are lightning fast with those things. But as I look here at 1 John while you look for that text, it says here in verse 3, you read it, Ed, it says, for I rejoice greatly when brothers came and testified of the truth that is in you. And you were talking about sharing that, just as you walk in the truth. So our example means everything, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It means everything. Did you find that text yet?
I did.
Where is
it? It's in Psalms 119.
Okay, very good.
Verse 142. You want me to read it?
Please.
This is the King James Version. I'm going to read from 139. My zeal has consumed me because my enemies have forgotten thy words. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. I am small and despised, yet do I not forget thy precepts. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth.
Mm. The law is the truth. So we could say that the very foundation of God's throne is built upon his law,
yeah.
Right? Does that have anything? Oh, go ahead, Ed.
So when we walk in the truth, we want to obey God's law.
Yeah, that's right. And the law of God, I think, Rick, you and I have talked about this on previous programs, how that reflects the character of God, doesn't it?
It certainly does. It's like a transcript of who God really is.
Yeah, because it's the law of love.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing that Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And the two greatest commandments, I know we remember what they were.
Love God and love to man.
Yeah, that's it. So we look at this here, and it says, he says to this elder that he's writing to here in 3 John, he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And I think he's talking about, do you think he's talking about his actual children, or is he talking about his brothers and sisters that he's been teaching this truth to?
The second one.
Yeah.
Yeah, God puts people in our lives that we have an influence over. And he's done the same thing here with the disciples and the apostles. And so they had a wide influence because that was their calling, to be preachers of the gospel, fishers of men.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So any other thought on this, on these four verses?
Well, yeah, they're just the fact that the disciples and the apostles, they moved around from place to place and they taught in different areas. And it's a good thing they did, because really what we're reading in Scripture, most of the New Testament, are these letters that they would write to these people that they've witnessed to before. And so we get an idea of Bible doctrine, and right, it's really brought into focus by these letters of encouragement from the disciples and apostles to these people that they have witnessed to. And that's what we're seeing here in this letter of 3 John.
Go. That's right. Ed?
Do you remember when we started with 1 John 1:1?
Yes.
And it talked about John saying, you know, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, talking about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
For the life was revealed, and we have seen it and bear witness and show to you the everlasting life, who was with the Father and was revealed to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And we write these things to you so that your joy may be full.
Hmm.
That's his motivation for writing these three books.
Sure. Let me ask you guys, just personally, when you share these things that you learn from the Bible, these Bible truths, that the things that we've learned from walking in the truth, how does it make you feel? What happens to you when you share these things personally?
It's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. a little anxiety maybe because you don't know how somebody else is going to accept it.
Right. Yeah.
But it's exciting to share these things that through study of God's word, they just kind of come alive.
Right. Have you had personal experience with that? I mean,
yes, but I have to go back to what Ed said. You know, it really is dependent upon the person that you're sharing these things with.
Right.
And maybe we shouldn't get so hung up on what a person's reaction is, because we're really just trying to present what the Bible says.
That's it.
But, you know, the reason, I guess we could get so wrapped up in that. The reason is we're excited when people understand these things. We're excited when it brings them closer to God.
That's right.
We're excited when it brings them closer to God's kingdom.
Amen.
You know, it was last summer I went to a family reunion, and a cousin there I talked to extensively for like 2 to 2.5 days. You know, every time we had a break, I was sharing something from God's word because I wanted it to come from the word of God, not from me.
Sure.
And I thought he was understanding. And I thought he was considering what the Bible had to say, but it turns out he really wasn't.
Wow. It's kind of disappointing.
It is.
But you were encouraged while you were sharing, weren't you?
Yeah. I was excited. It was thrilling to share this.
Yeah. And especially, you know, when it's somebody, I mean, we love sharing with anybody. It doesn't matter. But when it's a family member or somebody that you really care about, Rick, you've had personal time recently, a lot of time with your family.
Yeah, that's right. Because of this virus situation, we've had some time to do video calls with our kids and just witnessing that way. And I think we've done it for 8 weeks or so now. 6 nights a week, and it's been a blessing. It's been a real blessing.
Yeah, and to see them grow and learn and recognize that there's more to the Bible than just something that's in writing.
That's
gotta be exciting for you as a parent.
And it's easy to understand from your own family whether they get it or not.
Right.
Whether they understand the concepts of Scripture and the reasons behind God is trying to teach us these things. And it's just a real blessing to see eyes light up when they get a tremendously complex thing from Scripture, or even the simplest things. It's,
sure.
It's really neat.
It is. It is. So we can understand when he's talking about these things, when he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth.
Yeah, that's
with
right.
You, it's your literal children.
Yeah, it is.
And with me, it's just, I don't have children, so it's just people that I talk to in general about these things. Any other thoughts before we move along, you guys? Okay, well, let's, Rick, would you read verses 5 through 8, please?
Sure. I'm reading from the King James Version of the Bible. It says, Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of your charity before the church, whom if you bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, you shall do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth.
Okay. It's hard to read sometimes with the language like that, isn't it? But the King James proves to be a tried and true translation, even though it's hard to understand. Ed, can you read that from the modern King James just to give the listener a little better clarity on this?
Verses 1 through?
The 1st John.
I mean, 5.
3rd John. 5 through 8, yes.
5 through 8, okay. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you work for the brothers and for strangers, who in love bore witness of you before the church, whom you will do well to send forward worthily of God, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the nations. Therefore we ought to entertain such, so that we might be co-workers in the truth.
So does this text have any kind of meaning to you at all?
It seems like they had prepared these members, these brothers they were talking about, and they sent them forth to preach the gospel.
Yeah.
And they're saying, you know, we ought to take care of these people because they're doing the work of God.
That's right. Mm. So, you know, this is something that some people ask a lot. Why is this so important? You know, why do these people put such emphasis on preaching this gospel? You know, they use the word gospel, and I don't think they know what gospel means. What does gospel mean?
Good news.
Good news. So what's the good news?
That, oh, wow, how do you put that in a few words? The good news is Jesus came, the Son of God, came to this earth, died on the cross to cover my sins and your sins.
Right.
And then rose up again, and now we can have him living in our hearts and minds to help us overcome sin in our lives so that we can be ready when he comes again and have eternal life with the Father and the Son.
Yeah, have an eternal relationship.
Yeah.
Not just with each other, but with our Creator and his begotten Son.
So there is a text that I often think about when somebody asks what the gospel is, or
okay,
tries to explain that. And that's found in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16.
Okay, let's take a look at that. Do you have that there?
Yeah. Again, I'm reading from the King James Version. It says, of course, this is Paul writing a letter to the Romans. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to save everyone that believes, the Jew first and also the Greek.
Okay.
So the emphasis is put on, in the gospel, is put on God and him using his power to save everybody.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who it is. You know, in Paul's day, there was a big clamor about being a Jew or a Gentile or a Greek or something like that. But Paul's making it clear, God has the power to save everybody. That's what the gospel is about.
That's right.
It's not our power to try to do something to save ourselves. I mean, but if we put our faith and trust in God, he's going to work out the difficulties we have with sinfulness in our lives. He's promised to do it if we just put our faith and trust in him.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what he's done. So, you know, we're told also in Acts chapter 10, that God is not partial, that, you know, he loves every race, every color. It doesn't matter. Skin color, our race, none of these things make a difference to God. He loves every human being. And Christ came to die for every human being. It's just a matter of, do we accept it or not?
Mm. Do we want it?
Do we want it? Do we want to live according to the laws that yeah. God has put in place? You know, there are people today that don't want to live according to the laws of the land. And if they don't live according to the laws of the land, they're not happy, usually, with the consequence of not living within those laws. So if I don't want to live according to the laws of God, would I be happy living for eternity?
No.
No.
It doesn't seem I would. One other place that I thought was really important is Jesus talks about the gospel. And, you know, this John is putting a lot of emphasis on preaching this mm-hmm. here and what we're reading. Well, Jesus did too. Let's see how important that was in Matthew chapter 24. Now, anybody that has done a lot of Bible reading knows a little bit about Matthew 24, if you're a Bible student at all. And what do you know about Matthew 24? Is there anything that stands out in your mind about this particular chapter of the Bible, Ed?
Yeah, it's most of it's about signs and foretelling the second coming of Christ.
Wow. So that would be pretty important to yeah. most people that are believers in the Bible, wouldn't it?
You Doesn't might say it? It's full of prophecies of hope.
Yeah, there yeah. you go. It sure is.
Yeah. I'm assuming you're going to the verse that says something like, and this gospel is preached in all the world, and yeah. then shall come.
Yeah, that's where I wanted to go. In fact, you know, I guess we could read a little bit about this, but that's the text that I wanted to read. That's exactly what it says, Ed. You just quoted it almost word for word. It says in Matthew 24, verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come.
Yeah.
Well, what does that mean, the end will come? What does that mean to you?
The end of sin?
Okay. Hey, that's
the end of death, the end of pain and suffering, the end of broken relationships, the end of sickness.
Okay. Let me.
I will no longer have a job.
That's right. You're a physical therapist. Yeah. That's right. So let me just qualify that a little bit. Keep in mind that I believe that this is speaking about when Christ comes the second time. So this world, the sin of this world will end at that time, but there will be a resurrection that occurs later on, about 1,000 years later, where there all of these people who have been destroyed will once again live, and they're going to try to do something. All of that goes into Revelation. We've actually done, if you go back to our archives on the website, you'll find a study that we did on Revelation 20, 21, and 22. Rick and I did that several years ago. And we explain those things that happen during that time because we really don't have time tonight.
You know, I'm just struck with what you said. God really, through the gospel, through the good news, through this whole plan of salvation, that's really how we sum up the gospel, is really giving humankind a second chance.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, we had a really good chance to be on God's side back in the Garden of Eden. And you can read that account right from Genesis 1, 2, and 3, right?
Yes.
And our parents kind of blew it. It's probably wrong for us to say, well, if I'd have been there, I'd have done something different. Yeah, we probably would have made the same choice, but we can't blame it all on them. We find ourselves in this sinful world because of the choices of the whole world, not just them.
That's right.
And so God has given us a second chance, and that's what this preaching of the gospel is all about, so that everybody has the idea and the understanding and the knowledge to say, hey, wait a minute, there's a better way of living than what this sinful world has to offer.
That's what
and
it's all
God
about.
Has laid out that way.
And you can choose it if you want.
Yes.
Yeah, and God's given us the power to choose that. That's really what Romans 1:16 says to me, that I'm not without God's power if I really want to do what God wants me to do.
We have to ask for it.
Yeah.
Right? We pray and ask for it. Mm-hmm. But we've talked about Christ in you throughout these studies. If Christ is going to be in me, then there's some things that have to change about me.
But he has the power to help you overcome sin in your life.
That's it. That's right.
Which, that's good because I'm sure our listeners are thinking, it's a struggle to get over the things that I know are wrong in my life. It's a real struggle.
I'm thinking that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we all do think that.
Sure.
In fact, we know people that say, there's no way I'm going to do away with all the sin in my life.
Right.
There's no way I'll be able to do that. You're right. We can't do it. But Romans just told us that God is going to give his power to us. Hmm. And that power comes through his son, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So what are we going to say? That God doesn't have enough power to help me overcome my sin? That's pretty ridiculous. Because if God created everything, he's got enough power to help me overcome the things that are shortcomings in my
life. That's it. That's it. He knows how to help us to overcome. Ed, did you have a thought?
Yes. In Matthew 19, it talks about a rich man having difficulty entering the kingdom. It's, Jesus is saying in verse 24, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God.
Wow.
When his disciples heard, they were exceedingly amazed and said, who then can be saved?
Yeah, it sounds hopeless, doesn't it?
But look at Jesus' response. But Jesus looked on them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.
Amen. So that's what this is telling us, that God will help us through the Spirit of his Son.
Yes.
Right?
That's part of this gospel story. You know, if anybody's listening that, you know, You may be thinking that this is impossible. What you're asking me to do is not possible. You know, I have no ability to control these things in my life. But the Bible says something different. In these verses, it says, it may seem impossible, but with God, all things are impossible. No matter what your situation is, no matter what you've done in your life, there's always opportunity to turn that around through a relationship with Christ.
So let's look at this in a practical sense. There might be somebody who's listening to this, has never heard this before. Mm-hmm. What does this look like in a practical sense? How does someone get there that has never heard this message before?
That's a great question.
How do we get there? How do I get there from where I am right now? I'm driving my car, I'm listening to this program, and what does this mean for me? Any thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, you have to know who Jesus is and who his Father is.
Okay.
And understand the simple story of him coming to this earth to die on the cross. He lived a perfect life. He was without sin. Yet he bore the penalty of my sin, which is death, according to the Bible. Mm-hmm. He bore that on the cross. And he was raised again by his Father. And that gift of his death covers my sins if I ask for forgiveness of those sins. But not only his death, but his life now can help me have power over sin in my life.
Right.
And so if you want that, it's really simply starts with a prayer.
Okay. So go ahead, Rick.
Well, I'd just like to add to that I think the first initial step is understanding that it starts with a little bit of faith.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with that baby step of faith. And, these things that we have in our lives, sometimes they don't disappear overnight.
Mm-hmm. That's very
there
true.
Are miracles that happen where things like that, where someone, puts down that bottle of booze or drops that cigarette and they never pick those things up again.
Right.
But sometimes it takes time, it takes effort, and it takes prayer. But, I'm sure we've all heard the adage, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step.
That's right.
That first step. So if we turn to Hebrews chapter 11, there's a text I always like to quote when it comes to these issues.
Okay, Hebrews 11.
Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him," or please God. "For he that comes to God must believe that he is." What does that mean? That means even if the simplest prayer means that a person actually believes there's someone listening, that God is there and going to listen to their prayer. So when we come to God in prayer, that simple act is telling God, "Look, maybe I don't know where to turn next. Maybe I don't know everything that the Bible says about salvation and all the ins and outs of those things. I might not even know what the law of God really says,
right,
so I can keep his law or his will."
Right.
But the simple act of having a prayer that says, "God, I need to start somewhere. You're going to have to help me." That means that you believe that God really exists. That's what this text is saying.
Yeah.
And look what else it says. It is, "For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So once you take that first step, you just don't lay back and say, "Well, I prayed today. I guess I got in 6 weeks or so, I'll offer up another prayer and ask God to help me some more." It's about, look, if you realize that you need to change something, if you realize that you can't survive the way you are, and everybody needs to get to that point, then we can seek God out. And if we do it diligently, like this text says, or like with our whole heart, like David says in the Psalms, that God has promised to do his part in changing our lives.
Mm. Can I pray a simple prayer? Just as an example?
Sure. I think it would be good.
All right. Father in heaven, I come to you because I know that something is not right in my life. And I seek help, and I seek forgiveness of those things that I do in my life that I know I shouldn't do. Father, I may not know much about your word, but I believe that you sent Jesus to cover my sins, and I claim that promise of forgiveness. And Father, also, I want to walk in a new life, and I just ask for the power of your Son living within me to help me accomplish that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. And, you know, that's a beautiful prayer that anyone can pray.
At any time.
At any time, no matter where you are.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times we have this idea for prayer that I have to be kneeling, or I have to have my head bowed, or I have to have my eyes closed. A lot of the prayers that I pray are when I'm driving, believe it or not. And I'm not praying for the guy to get out from in front of me. Just, I guess sometimes I do. But the truth is, we can pray at any time, in any position. It doesn't matter. Go ahead.
And prayer is really just talking to God.
That's it.
It doesn't have to be super formal.
And I will share this, too. You know, because we're talking about how does this look on a practical sense, somebody that maybe has never heard the things that we're talking about. They don't know what it looks like. They don't know how to pray. Ed just prayed an actual prayer. That's how you can start. I personally know a man who was about to commit suicide, and he didn't even know if God existed. And his prayer was, God, if you exist, please help me. And within minutes, somebody was there to help him, within almost instantaneously. And to me, that's miraculous. The person right. didn't know that any of this had happened, but I believe that God put those people there in his house to help him at that very moment.
Yeah.
And his life was changed. That little prayer that he said and the help that he received helped him to become a believer and the one true God and
Amen
his Son.
Amen to that.
Amen.
It's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, Rick, the text that you shared there in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, just so that the listener knows, in Hebrews 11, verse 1, it gives us the definition of faith. Does anybody have that? Do you have that in front of you there? Or I've got it here if you don't.
King James Version is what I memorized as a kid.
Oh, so you know it from heart. What does it say?
Well, I'm looking at my screen, so that's a problem.
Yeah,
I don't know if I can quote it.
Faith is
the substance of things hoped for with evidence of things not seen, which means is you're believing something will happen, even though you don't see how in the world it could ever happen.
Right.
It seems impossible that it could happen.
Yeah, there you go. Or maybe you've never seen it happen before. Like Noah, you know, we believe the account in the Bible of Noah. It had never rained, but he built an ark having faith that this was going to happen, even though he had never seen it happen. Isn't that right?
It can be somebody listening and saying, you don't understand
right.
what my life is like.
And truly, I don't.
Right? And we're telling you, it doesn't matter. God can turn it around.
Yes. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. It really is.
Even when it seems impossible.
Even when it's, in our minds, it may be impossible.
Yeah.
It may be impossible for us, right? Just like
yes.
the text that you read in Matthew.
Yeah, it's not possible with men, but possible with God.
All
yeah.
things are possible with God.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, these types of studies really bring things home to me, because a lot of things have happened in my life that have bolstered my faith. You know, there were many years that I never opened the Bible, never read the Bible, but these things were instilled in me from a very young age. So when I did open the Bible and I started seeing things, it really enhanced my appreciation for God.
I think it's safe to say that all of us, no matter what our relationship with God is like now, it's been a growing relationship.
Absolutely.
Learning more things, becoming closer to God, more closely wanting to follow his word and his commandments.
Yeah. You know, isn't a study really good when we make it personal like this?
That's what it's about.
That is what it's about.
Sharing what God has done for you in your life.
Yeah. So any thoughts, you guys, before we move along on this text here that we just read? And we were in 3 John. And we talked about the gospel, and it also said that in verse 8, it says, we therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. In other words, workers for Christ, helping people to come to know who he is, right?
It's like support these people that have been sent out to preach the word. That's Everybody's got different talents and skills.
Yeah, we do.
Not everybody is made to be a teacher. Not everybody is made to stand up front of a crowd and preach the gospel.
That's right.
But you can share your story with anybody.
And sometimes the story doesn't even have to have words. People by your lifestyle change.
Yeah.
Isn't that true?
Very true.
So just by watching. So if we want, we can move along here to 3 John verse 9. But before we go, I just want to encourage the listener to think about these things. You know, I think that most people believe that there is some sort of higher power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's an old saying about there's never been found an atheist in a foxhole, right?
Yes. Yes.
You know, when things get bad enough, it seems like people tend to call on God. And the closer we get to our mortality, the end of our life, it seems like we start looking at these things.
Mm-hmm.
And my plea to the listener is don't wait.
Yeah.
Don't wait. If you have questions, ask them. Ask them. And the answers can be found in the Bible, I'm sure, in some way, shape, or form.
If you don't have anybody ask, ask us.
Yeah, send us an email, and we'll be happy to try to address anything right here on the air. We'll try to answer those questions straight from the Bible. And let's just move along then, guys. Let's see. Verse 9. I guess I haven't read yet, so I'll read this. It says, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has a good testimony from all, and from the truth itself. And we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. Any thoughts on these words?
Well, Mark, you were just talking about our lifestyle can be a great witness.
Yes.
And how we treat other people, and especially people who we consider to be in the faith with us, or in the truth with us, or having the same mindset with us. How do we treat those people? And then how do we treat people who are not part of our congregation or our belief system? That's pretty important, too.
That's very important.
So I think John is really hitting on this right here. How do we live our lives? How do we relate to other people in the faith and out of the faith?
Okay.
You know, I like this saying, do you want to get real?
Oh, yeah.
About life.
I've heard that, yeah.
We've talked about this before, that sometimes it's not too hard to consciously try to be nice to other people.
Right.
But when you get under stress, under pressure, what's inside and what's in your heart will eventually come out.
Yeah, or often, we might just be aggravated about something.
Often uncontrolled.
Right.
And so really the life of a Christian is a change of heart. So that when those situations occur, those things aren't there to come out. So that's the reality of our humanness. But God, through his Son, can change that.
Yes, he can.
That's one of those things that seems impossible.
Oh, it does. It does seem impossible. And I've had some things in my life that are impossible. I know you've heard me share this,
yes.
Ed. I don't think I've ever shared it here on the air, but I remember years ago when I was first learning about Bible things, and you know, I saw the lifestyle of one of my friends, and he was just different. He seemed to be pleasant all the time. Nothing ever got to him. He never seemed to be upset, and I never heard a foul word come out of his mouth. And you know, here I was, one of these guys that pretty much every other word was a bad word, you know. And I remember saying to him one day, I said, you know, I don't think I'll ever be able to overcome that. I think I'll be cussing from now to the day I die. And he said to me, you know, you keep studying the Bible and you keep praying about it. He says, and put yourself in the presence of the right people. Hmm. He says, because your associates make a big difference too. He says, if you're surrounded by people who don't use that language, you're probably not going to use it. He says, I've never heard you say those things. And he was right.
Yeah.
And he says, but the day's going to come. He says, if you keep doing these things and studying and praying for change, he said, the day will come to where you'll stub your toe or you'll do something and hit your thumb with a hammer and you won't even think about cussing. And I literally laughed at him. I laughed at him. And it was a little bit of time after that. There was one day when I was working on a car and the hammer slipped off of the chisel and hit my thumb. And I didn't say a curse word. I was like, doggone it. You know, I substituted. But I didn't say a curse word. I didn't even. And honestly, it wasn't until later that day that I thought about it. I said, wow, he's right. I didn't even think about it. Yeah. And now it's when I hear somebody use language, dirty language, it's offensive. It's abrasive to me. So it's true. We can overcome. So
it just reminds me, you're talking about being careful of whose company you're in. Includes be careful about what you watch on TV, you listen to on the radio. All these things, what you read in a magazine or a book, all these things will influence your mind and your character.
Yeah, that's true. I remember somebody asked me one day years ago, they said, if you've got something on your television in your house and Jesus walked into the house at that moment, would you change the channel or would you welcome him to sit down and watch it with you?
Yeah.
We should think about that.
Yeah.
We really should. So any other thoughts on this passage? We've got just a couple of verses left. Anything?
No.
Okay. Rick, did you want to read the last two verses?
Sure. It's 13 and 14. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto you. But I trust I shall shortly see you, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name.
When we look at these things, you know, it makes me think he probably had a lot to say. And he was thinking, boy, it's going to take me a long time. You know, sometimes in ministry, somebody will send in a question and want an email back. And I'll say, you know, if you give me your phone number, I can call you. Because it takes me a long time to type an answer where I can say it in just a couple of minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he was writing with this, you know, back then they didn't have a ballpoint pen like we have now. So it was a little bit, probably a little more tedious to write these letters. Ed, you were going to say something?
I'm not there in John, 3rd John right now. What does he say about peace?
Let's see. Which verse was it? He says in verse 14, but I hope to see you shortly. That's not Ed shortly, yeah, by the way. He says, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name.
Can I share a verse with you?
Yeah, please.
From John 14:27. This is Jesus speaking, and he's talking to his disciples about sending a comforter to them after he leaves this world.
Okay.
And here's what he says in John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
Hmm. So what does that mean to you when you read that? How does that affect you personally?
Knowing that Christ not only died on the cross for me, but now he also lives his life for me and can be in me. And to no matter what situation I'm in, no matter what I'm going through, knowing that he is there brings me peace.
Hmm. Any thoughts, Rick?
Well, I think there's answers for all of our problems. And I think the personalness that Christ, I don't know, personalness, is that a word? I mean, the personal interaction that Christ wants to have with us is something, I think, when we experience that, it's something that we don't get anywhere else.
That's
it's
right.
something that we don't experience. Even when we have someone we're close to or a spouse or something like that, because the Bible tells us that Christ experienced all the things that we've had to go through. Hmm. It may not have been exactly the same, but he experienced all the temptations, all the heartaches, and he knows how to overcome those things.
Yes.
He knows what to give us to help us to overcome those things in every way. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's this poem, I can't quote it, that I grew up with in the 70s.
Oh, yeah?
Boy,
that was a long time ago, Ed.
Yeah, anyways, the title of the poem's called Footprints.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that, but I can't
and
quote it
And it's a story of seeing a couple of sets of footprints, and the idea is you're walking down the beach and Jesus is walking with you. Mm-hmm. And you notice it's meant to this walk, these footprints are through your life.
Right.
And you notice as you look at these footprints in the sand that there's certain times in your life where you only see one set of footprints.
Right.
And you know, discover further, that's one of the most difficult times in my life.
Right.
What is going on? Did Jesus leave me?
Yeah, that's the question. Where were you, Lord? Yeah. Right? Or something like that.
And then you discover that's when Jesus was carrying you.
Right. That's when he was right there with you.
Yeah.
And protecting you and
it's
getting you through that time.
His footprints, you see, not
that's
yours.
Right. That's right. So it's a beautiful thought. I don't know who wrote that. I'm sure you can Google it and find it online. I'm sure it's all over the place if you look that up. But, you know, this actually finishes the studies of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd Epistle of John. Did you have anything? You know, we've got just a few minutes left, you guys. If you wanted to just maybe, was there anything that really stuck out to you over the past, 12 weeks that we've been studying this? Is there anything that maybe caught your attention as we went through some of these passages?
I just want to go back again to the book of 1 John.
Sure.
The very first chapter.
Okay.
Verses... 7 through 9.
All right.
And it says, but if we walk in the light, as he is the light, and just before this, it says that God is light.
Yeah.
We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin.
Not just some sin, all sin. Right.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yeah. Yeah. So in other words, before we can get into the kingdom of heaven, into the kingdom of God, we have to be cleansed.
Yes.
And he cleans us up
yes.
so that we can be there, if we'll let him.
Amen.
And any thoughts, Rick? Did you have any texts that stood out to you?
Well, there in 3 John, it talks about bearing record.
Okay.
Doesn't it say that? It says that...
let me see. We just read it, and I cannot remember where that is. Let's see here.
That caught my eye, and I know we didn't touch on that.
Okay, you're scanning it right now.
Verse 12.
Okay.
He's talking about this Demetrius person. He has a good report of all men and of the truth itself. And we also bear record, and we know that our record is true. You know, these are words that Jesus used also.
Hmm.
He used them in John chapter 8 and John chapter 19.
Okay.
And what he told us is that if these words were coming just from him, they wouldn't necessarily be true, but they were coming from God himself, his Father, and our Heavenly Father. And so when these brethren are talking about bearing record from the truth, it's not something that they just make up, or it's not their understandings or what they think about it. They're talking about Scripture, the record of God Himself, what God has told us.
Okay. That makes sense. You've got about 20 seconds.
Oh, well, I can't do
it. What's the text?
John 12:46-50 talks about, I've come as a light into the world so that whoever believes in me should not remain in darkness. And then it goes on to say, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is life everlasting. Therefore, whatever I speak, even as the Father said to me, so I speak.
You got it in. Very good. Just under the wire. So we need to close with a word of prayer. This has been an excellent study, very encouraging to me. Rick, would you pray for us, please?
Sure. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just praise you for your patience with us. The love that you have for us, Father, is overwhelming when we really think about what you've done to save us. And Father, there's no words except to say thank you. Help us to be worthy in some way by giving you our lives. That's what we need to do, is have total dedication to you, Father. Help us with that. Help us to overcome the world and ourselves, please. And it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brothers, thank you. Friends, we hope you tune in next week, 7 p.m. Sunday, here on New Visions Radio. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.